thank you that you're a good father. Regardless of the road we're on, you're a good father. Regardless of the circumstances that we face, you're a good father. Regardless of those who walk out on us, you're a good father. Regardless of what the doctors say, you're a good father. Regardless of what the employers say, you're a good father. Regardless of what the world may say or do, you're a good father. And we love you. And because we're loved by you, our lives are different. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you. Father, it's possible that in this room right now, there are some folks carrying a lot of heavy weights. Man, they are asking the deep, profound questions of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? What is the meaning of life? Are you real, God, and are you knowable? And there could be someone right now asking those questions. And Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you would move on their hearts, move on their minds, bring the answers to their soul, and change their lives. Father, some folks here, life's just thrown a bunch of curveballs at them. And that's rough. And so, Lord, I pray you stand with them, stand by them. Help them, Father, through this time that seems to be real difficult. And now, Lord, we're going to look to your word, and we're going to open it up. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you will illumine the words of Scripture to our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Grace kids, where are you? Let's tell them we love them. Grace kids, all right. Hey, good to see you. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Awesome. Again, anybody wanting to work with kids, we have a spot for you. You know, that's really not a joke. I mean, it's sort of serious. You know, we'd love for you to help, man. It would be awesome if you would help for sure. Well, you know, if you were raised in church, or even if you were just raised around church, there are certain stories that you know about the Bible. Everybody knows about Jesus walking on the water, right? I mean, if you have any sort of rudimentary understanding of Scripture, not profound, but just sort of basic, you've probably heard about Jesus walking on the water. Now, if you come from the Baptist background, you know about the feeding of the 5,000. Can I get an amen? Where's my former Baptist? Right. That's the first buffet table, right? I mean, we all know about that. So we know a little bit about that. Some of you would know about Peter walking on the water, even, you know, trusting the Lord and jumping out of the boat. And there's another story you have heard about. Now, you might not have all the details down right, but you're going to know a little bit about it. And it's the story of the rich young ruler. And it's found in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You can find it in all three of those. But the one we're going to look at is in Mark today. So if you have your Bibles, open with me, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 10. And just want to spend a few minutes. Of course, we have communion today, so thank you for coming on Communion Sunday. So thankful that you're here. So we will look sort of quickly at this story, and there's a couple of things that you may say, well, Terry, you know, rich young ruler, I don't really have anything in common with him. He's rich. He was a leader. You know, I'm neither rich nor a leader, so, you know, I don't really have anything in common with him. Well, let me assure you, you do. And so let's look at Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. The Bible says this. Now, he was setting out, talking about Jesus, on his journey, and a man came running up to him, knelt before him, and asked him, and said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, now, why do you call me good? There's no one good except God alone. But you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all of these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Key phrase. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack only one thing. Go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Now, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. Well, let's look at this guy. Here's this young guy. Jesus is getting ready to leave town. He's going on a trip, going on a journey, and he's getting ready to leave town. And this young guy runs up to him and begins to engage Jesus, begins to connect with him. And there are some things we can learn about this guy that are pretty important. The first thing, he ran up to Jesus, so that means he's in a little bit of a hurry. There was something pressing on his mind, something pressing on his heart that just really mattered that he had to get an answer to. Have you ever been like that? How many of you ever run to the Lord in prayer, ever, where you've said, I have run to the Lord in prayer? You ever done that? Have you ever had something so on your heart or on your mind where you just had to, you had to run to God? You couldn't walk, you couldn't crawl, you couldn't wait. You ran to the Lord. Man, you were serious about what you were saying. You were serious about connecting with the Lord. Have you ever had moments where if you didn't grab hold of God, or if he didn't grab hold of you, you just really, really thought you weren't going to make it? Have you ever been there? That's this guy. This guy is so consumed with something in the story that he's running to Jesus. He's running to the right spot. Hello? So he's running to Jesus, and then we see another thing. We see that the guy is pretty smart and has pretty good manners, because the scripture says that he knelt down before the Lord, and he said, good teacher. Now, kneeling down was an act of respect. It was showing honor and reverence and respect to the Lord. It was the right thing to do. It was right when he went up to the Lord and approached the Lord to kneel down in deference and respect to the Lord. Now, let me ask you this. Okay, when was the last time you knelt before the Lord? You know, we don't do that a lot in our tradition, do we? Now, there are some traditions, and some of you come out of the tradition, where you kneel on a regular basis. And that's not a bad thing. Actually, if you really want to honor the Lord in a great way, maybe sometimes you need to kneel. Maybe if your prayer is really a running kind of a prayer, maybe you need to kneel. If your prayer is really one of those prayers where I've got to grab hold of the Lord, maybe you need to kneel. Maybe you need to humble yourself before the Lord. It's just the thought. But the rich young ruler was running to the Lord. He knelt down and he said, good master or good teacher. Now, that wasn't a common phrase either. That was a phrase of high honor, a phrase of high respect. It was a phrase that indicated the young man had some insight into who Jesus was. He sort of got the idea that Jesus was great. Okay, I'm not going to win a Nobel Prize for that. But when was the last time you were captured by the greatness of Jesus? I mean, when was the last time you went to the Lord in prayer, you got on your knees, and you were consumed and captured by the greatness of God? Wowed and awestruck. I mean, we really use the word awesome so much, it's really stripped away a really great word and made it so commonplace. But truly awe-inspiring. When was the last time you were awestruck by the greatness of God? Do you know of that God? I mean, do you know of the God who spun the worlds into existence? Do you know of the God who could part the seas to deliver his people? Do you know of the God who, when death knocks on your door, he still wins? Do you know anything about that God? Oh, man. If I was a comedian right now, I would walk off the stage. Let me just tell you. All right, this is a tough crowd. You guys have a bad night? Do we need to have confession right now? All right, do we need to get some things out in the open, right? You know, sometimes we have rough nights, right? So, all right. So he's coming to the Lord, and he's recognizing the greatness of God. He's recognizing the goodness of God. He is really understanding that Jesus is where he needs to run to for the answer. So what does he ask? Pretty cool. He says, good teacher, now what must I do to inherit eternal life? The most important question you can ever ask. There is nothing more important than that. Let me tell you what happens. Can I talk to you a little bit about sort of our life timeline for a minute? I don't want to get too philosophical, but here's our life timeline. When we're younger, we ask a series of existential questions, so what philosophers call them, that are basic to all humanity. And we ask these questions: why am I here? Where am I going? What is the purpose of life? Is there a God? Is he knowable? And these are sort of the existential basic questions that we ask in life. We all ask them. Everyone asks them in some way, shape, or form. And believe it or not, you sort of answer them. You either decide to ignore it, which is an answer, or you search out the answer to the questions, and you find some satisfaction in your life. But as you get older, here's what happens, and I think I can speak to this now because I qualify as older. Now, some of you are looking at me saying, I wish I was 55. Yeah, me too. Because I feel about 95 today. But as you get older, the questions you ask shift. They're equally as profound and equally as important, but they change. We ask questions like, who have I impacted? What am I leaving behind when I'm gone? when I plot, when I go toes up, when I'm done, what is the world going to be better because I was here, or is it just going to be a hiccup that I'm gone? And we begin to ask these questions, and the Lord has a way of getting your attention. Now, most of you know, some of you don't, that I went in for a heart cath last week. Now, here at Grace, we're not protected by the HIPAA law, right, here at Grace. So all of you familiar with HIPAA, does not apply to me. All right, so, because I'm going to tell you everything. All right, and so so I went in for a heart cath, but we're family. We're family. If we can't talk, I mean, this is bad. I mean, so we're a family, so we have to be able to talk. So I went in for a heart cath, and doctor got in there and came out and said, well, he said, I can put stents in. It would be a number of them. Or we can do bypass surgery, and it might last you the rest of your life. And so what is it? I answered bypass, but I'm telling you, I was still high from that stuff they gave me in the operating room. I was high as a kite when they were asking me this stuff. I don't think it's fair, right? I think they should have let me sober up a little and then ask me the question, because, I mean, I was high. And they asked that question, and they said, whatever, let's do bypass. And now I'm sitting here on Sunday, bypass is coming on Tuesday, I'm suing. They took advantage of a man in a weakened condition, right? I mean, I was in a weakened spot. I still wasn't awake yet. And so Tuesday, I'll be going in for bypass surgery. They're saying 4. I'm going to try to argue them down to 2, but, you know, it is what it is. But I'm going in for four bypasses. And I have every confidence in the world that this is going to go great. I'm going to go in, going to come out. I'm even praying that my recovery time is going to be record recovery time. And I just, you know, I'm just believing that this is going to get behind us just real quick. Believing that, you still, with a rational mind, have to engage the thought, maybe it doesn't go well. Then what? See, it's those questions that everyone in this room better ask. It's the question the rich young ruler asked. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? What do I have to do to get to heaven? There is no more important question. There is no more important consideration. There is nothing more profound than where will you spend eternity. Here's what I know. You're going to be dead longer than you're alive. I get it, not a Nobel Prize winning thought. But you're going to be dead longer than you're alive. So what comes next matters most. Now that's just rational. If you're here today and you have one healthy functioning brain cell, you got to track with me on this. If the Lord doesn't come back, we will all go the way of the grave. Now, I don't want to get morbid. That's just a fact. But what's next can be glorious or disastrous. You get to choose that. It could be glorious. Man, heaven is great. Tuesday, I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to wake up looking at the people I love or being with the Lord I love. Now, that's true. That's real. That's what matters most. What are you chasing right now? What are you distracted with? More job, more money, better this, more of that, doing this, getting involved in that. What are you chasing? Because the day will come where you can't chase anymore. The day will come where you cannot chase anymore. Now, again, not being a prophet of doom, just a little common sense. The day's going to come when you can't do it anymore. What comes next matters most. So the rich young ruler asked Jesus, what does it take to inherit the kingdom of God? Now, so Jesus turns the corner. He says this. He says, well, why do you call me good? There's no one good except God, which shows the guy had some insight and understanding who he was talking to. Then he goes on, he says, okay, Jesus is talking. He said, you know the commandments. Now, you'll notice these are not all 10 of the commandments. This is a select few. Theologians debate why that is, but I like what one theologian said. He said, these are the ones the guy had kept and Jesus was sort of leading him down the road. He didn't mention the ones he had broken. I think that might be true. So Jesus said, okay, here are the ones. Don't murder. I mean, we've all got that one, right? Okay, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your father and mother. Now, this guy is hanging on every word. This is how I'm going to get to heaven. And he just hit the jackpot. He's like, whoa, man, I've done all that. Listen to what he says. He says, and he said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth, I am in. I'm in. But then Jesus does what he always does. He goes to the heart of the matter. And that's what he's doing with us right now. Here's the heart of the matter. Jesus turns the corner and he does this. He says, you lack one thing. And Jesus, looking on him, loved him and said to him, get that. Jesus looked at this guy and he loved him. So what he's about to say is a statement of love. Now, it's counterintuitive as it pertains to the world, because what Jesus is about to say is not the formula that people look for to equal a happy life in this world. It is different. But he looked at the guy and he loved him and he said, out of my love for you, I am going to share with you this truth. And so he says this. He says, you lack one thing. Go, sell all you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, disheartened by this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. See, there was nothing wrong with his possessions. But the problem was he didn't possess his possessions. His possessions possessed him. He trusted in temporary things for eternal solutions. This is the struggle in 21st century America. This is a struggle within the American church. We trust in the temporary things of life to bring eternal satisfaction. There is nothing made by the hands of men. Listen, I love you, but there is nothing made by the hands of men that can bring satisfaction to your soul and fulfill the longing of your life and to bring satisfaction to your mind and the quest of your heart for meaning and purpose. There is nothing made by men that can do that. Absolutely nothing. But in the 20th century church, 21st century church, we've grown to trust in things more than the Lord. Let me tell you a true story. A friend of mine went on a mission trip to Jamaica. No, not to the beach. Everybody's going, I'm going. Right? I mean, it's like, mission trip to the beach, I'm in. No, they actually went to the interior of Jamaica. And they were helping a church build a building. And they got four walls up, but a hurricane was coming off coast. It was a really bad hurricane going to hit Jamaica. So they called everybody together to pray. So they gathered around the building, they held hands, and they prayed. And while they were there, the pastor of the little Jamaican church said to this group, they were from a very affluent church in Memphis, Tennessee. A very, very affluent church is where they were from. And the pastor looked at him and said, you know, I feel sorry for you guys. And they said, why? I mean, because here's this, you know, half-built building, dirt floor, no windows, doors, you know, no air conditioning. He said, I feel sorry for you guys. And my buddy said, well, why do you feel sorry for us? He said, because, you see, if a storm's coming to hit your building, you don't even worry about it because your insurance will pay off and you'll probably build a better building on the backside. We don't have insurance. We don't have any money in the bank. We have to have God show up. And so we gather around this building and pray and believe God is going to protect our building because he's the only one we have. Our trust is in him, not in the insurance company. It's easy to trust in the things we hold and can see. It's easy to trust in the stuff that's around us to bring us happiness, distraction, satisfaction, whatever it might be. It's easy to trust in that. But I tell you today as your friend, it will fail you in the long run. Nothing you can hold in your hand can satisfy your heart. It just can't happen that way. The rich young ruler trusted in his riches. He was possessed by the possessables. He was owned by the stuff he should have owned. And when Jesus said, you want to be perfect, you want to be complete, sell it all and follow me, he couldn't do it. Because the second thing that's happened that's really insidious and ugly within the American church is his identity was wrapped up in his stuff. He defined himself by his wealth. Now, I pray all of you do well in life. I pray that you increase. I pray that you multiply. I pray everything goes great in your life. But here's the truth of it. You can't trust in it for eternal satisfaction because it cannot and will not deliver. It just won't. So, the rich young ruler looked at Jesus and looked at his stuff and said, I want what I can hold in my hand more than who I can follow. And so what happened? Scripture says that he went away. He went away sad because he had great possessions. Now, it doesn't end there. Quickly, let me just wind up the story at what goes on. So it says, now Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, now how difficult will it be for those who have great wealth to enter the kingdom of God? It's going to be this difficult. And his disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult is it to enter into the kingdom of God? Well, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished at this and said to him, then who can be saved? Who can really be saved? And then Jesus said this, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. So how does he land the plane? He lands the plane with this. It's about your heart. It's about who you love and who you trust. It's about who you passionately pursue rather than what you cling to or hold on to. There is no doubt about it. There are people not in church today because they think every preacher's out to pick their pocket. You know, it's true. They'll never come because they were in a church service and pastor dared to pass an offering plate. I tell you, more people will stay outside the kingdom of God because of their stuff than their morality. I love you today. I believe in you. And I believe God wants to do amazing things in your life and with you. But you must make the shift from what you see and what you touch and what you hold to following the one who died for you and resurrected. You must make the change. You must. There is no alternative. Well, Jesus would go on in this passage and say, everything you've given up in this life will be restored to you, and even more so. You cannot out-sacrifice God. He will bless you beyond your understanding. You're here today, and God's calling you to do something great because God wants to do great things with all of you. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I'm planning to do next week. I don't. Don't need to. Because God still loves you, and God still has got an unbelievable plan for you. And so, here's the thing. You get a choice. You get a choice today to surrender your heart and your life completely to Christ and follow him passionately and see where he leads you. Or, you can hang on to the stuff. But I tell you this as your friend, and I'm Terry, I'm just your friend. When the doctor looks you in the face and says, you know, diagnosis isn't great. Everything in that garage, everything in that bank account, everything in that house, everything parked on the river, none of it will satisfy your life. When the possibility exists, I mean the real, I don't mean the philosophical possibility. Oh, I could die today. Well, yeah, we all get that. But I mean the real imminent possibility. You know, when it's there, it's that relationship. It's relationship with the Lord that's going to sustain you. I love you. God loves you. He has an unbelievable plan for you, regardless of what station you're in life. All you got to do is love him more than the stuff around you. And God will speak to you, and he will lead you, and he will guide you. I promise he will. Amen? Amen. Pray with me, if you will. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to ask a couple quick questions and give you an opportunity to think about it, pray about it, see what the Lord will do. If you're a believer here today, and you say, you know, Terry, I do believe in the Lord. I know him. I have a relationship with him. But I have held on too tightly to the things of the earth. And they have robbed me from the ministry God wants me to be a part of. Maybe right now you just need to say, God, please forgive me of me hanging on to the temporary stuff. Temporary things have only brought temporary satisfaction into my life, man. And I'm done with that. Help me let go. Maybe you're here today and you're a believer. God's made some specific calls on your life throughout the years, and you've ignored it for the pursuit of the things of the earth and the world. Maybe you just say to the Lord, Lord, you know, these things aren't necessarily bad things, but they're not as great as you. So help me make the exchange. Help me make that exchange. And then finally, some of you are here and you're racked with shame and guilt and self-condemnation. None of those are tools of the Holy Spirit. None of those are tools of the Holy Spirit. None of them. So if you're sitting here with a bunch of shame and a bunch of self-condemnation, that is not from the Lord. The Lord convicts to bring repentance and restoration and blessing. The Lord doesn't condemn. The only person condemned here today is the one that doesn't know Christ. And we're going to fix that in just a minute. So if you're here today and you've been walking around with your head down, your shoulders slumped, thinking that you're, you know, a forgotten stepchild of the Lord, that is a lie from hell, and that is not who you are. Thank the Lord for his forgiveness. Thank the Lord for his salvation. Thank the Lord that he redeemed you, saved you, and filled you with the Holy Spirit. Thank him for it. Amen. Now, most important question is, how do I get to heaven? Here's the gospel. The Bible says that if we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he lay dead in the grave for 3 days, and that on the third day he resurrected from the grave. If we declare him Lord of our life, ask him to forgive us of our sins, and surrender ourselves to him, he fills us with the Holy Spirit, seals us to the day of redemption, and we belong to him. If you're here today and you've never done that, I want to give you a chance. Just right there where you are, just pray, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you lay dead in the grave for 3 days. On the third day, I believe you bodily, physically resurrected from the grave. And right now, I place my faith and my trust in you alone for salvation. Forgive me of my sins as I declare you Lord over my life. Now, if you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer for the first time today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. 1, 2, 3, just slip up your hand. Anybody in this room? Anybody in this room? Okay? Those of you who know the Lord, Scripture says that after you repent and turn from your sins, you need to follow the Lord in baptism. If you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism, we stand ready to help you do that every single week here. We want to encourage you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I'm going to be up here after the service is over. I'd love to help you take those steps and walk through that and help you follow the Lord in baptism. Well, Father, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'm going to invite those who are helping to serve communion to come forward, please. Those who are helping with communion. As they're coming, let me just talk you quickly through communion here at Grace. Here at Grace, we practice what's called open communion. We believe that if you're a child of God, if you know the Lord, you're invited to his table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You just got to be a Christian. So if you're a Christian, we invite you to come to the table of the Lord today. We want you to commune with us, so please do so. What do we believe about communion here at Grace? We believe that communion is a special, significant spiritual encounter with the Holy Spirit. We do not believe the elements change or transmute, but we do believe that the Spirit of God, as John Calvin said, hovers more closely during the time of communion than at any other thing we do throughout the month. So we believe that you're going to encounter the Lord in a fresh and a new way. We believe it's a celebration time. Man, Jesus died for us so we didn't have to die for ourselves. We couldn't die for ourselves. Isn't that good news? Okay. Hell's an option. All right. You know, Yeah, man, it's awesome. Jesus died for us, and we celebrate that at communion. Yeah, we celebrate that. So as we come to the table in just a minute, come with joy in your heart. Man, come with a mind filled with possibilities, because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The creator of the universe lives in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. Man, that is an amazing thing. So we believe that as you come to communion, you're going to encounter the Lord in a spiritual way. Now, we offer two methods of receiving communion. One is the cup method. Many of you were raised with this. Just so you know, there's two cups. The bread's on the bottom. The juice is on top. Make sure you grab both, all right? The other one is intinction. That's where you take the bread and you dip it in the cup. If you use that method, many people do, we ask that you partake of the element quickly, just so you don't spill juice everywhere, all right? So not real spiritual, just real practical. So as you do that, partake of the element quickly, and that will be awesome. Now, the way we sort of ask you to do it is this side sort of come this way, this side come this way, and y'all in the middle sort of eyeball it, okay? So stand with me, if you will, as we go to the Lord in prayer, and we will have communion together. Lord, I thank you that you moved on the Apostle Paul, and he wrote this: "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and he broke it, giving thanks, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Now in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' Jesus, as we come to your table, we thank you for your shed blood and your body that was offered up. Now we ask, Holy Spirit, that you move powerfully in each person's life as we come to the table. Answer the questions of people's mind. Father, begin to satisfy the longings of their soul. Lord, begin to help people make sense out of some senseless situations. And Lord, I just pray that you be with all of us as we come to your table, and we will leave changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come to the table.
Give me a new name, give me a fresh start. These shackles and chains are falling apart. Give me a new name, give me a fresh start. These shackles and chains are falling apart. Give me a new name. Shackles and chains are falling apart. Give me a new name. Give me a fresh start. These shackles and chains are falling apart. I've been changed for the better. deep within my soul that the Lord my God will always come through. And I will always know the love that made me whole, brought this life from old into new.
We absolutely don't want to rush through this time. So if you're just now getting seated or still need to make your way up here to receive the elements, please do so. And so we will not, we're not going to rush through this at all. But as you get back to your seats, of course, you are free to receive the elements, take the elements there. So please do so at your leisure. Let's see. I think we're good. I want to invite you, if you will, if you need it, right here on the front of your program is the Lord's Prayer. We like to end our communion time together praying as the Lord taught us to pray. And so pray with me, if you will. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. At this time, I want to ask our ushers to come forward for our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, where are you? Come on down. They're somewhere. Here they come. All right, we give here at Grace. We give here at Grace for three reasons. Because Jesus is Lord, because the gospel is the most important message in the world, and because the Bible says that where your treasure goes, that's where your heart goes. So we give you an opportunity to move your heart closer to the Lord every single Sunday. So let's pray together as we receive our morning tithes and offerings. Father, we love you. Thank you for today. And now, Lord, as we give, I pray we give with a joyful heart, with a generous spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ryan, come on up.
Couple of quick announcements for you. We've got our regular Wednesday night program happening this week upstairs with the youth. So we want to invite all of our teenagers from 6th grade to 12th grade to come on up. We've started a new series called Letters to a Younger Me. And so we're bringing in some older people, which is like my age and younger, okay? Which is really kind of funny. This week, we've got the gift of a girl that was in my youth group as a middle schooler, and now she's a parent and kids, and so she's coming back to speak to us, which is going to be great. But words of wisdom, we'd love to have all of your teenagers there. This coming Saturday is a celebrity bagging event for us. We'll be at Hitchcock's from 10 to 5. If you're planning on going to camp and you're wanting to do fundraisers and things like that, this is your time to come and be there. We'll have two sessions. We'll have a 10 to 1:30 and a 1:30 to 5 so that you can come and be a part of those. We would love to have you there with that. If you're graduating, please make sure that you're starting to get together your little bios for us. We need those in hopefully by the end of this month so we can get things together, because the end of May the 26th is going to be our 26th or 27th, I always get that confused. May 26th, thank you, is going to be our senior recognition Sunday here at church. So we would love to have you here for that. But that's all I got.
Yeah, let me really encourage you, if you know a graduate who needs to be honored, please let us know beforehand. It's real difficult for us the Sunday day of to try to fix if you have two or three people show up. Oh, I forgot to tell you about, you know, Bob, Charlie, and Susie. Well, please think about that now. Let us know, because we want to honor them appropriately, and it's hard for us to honor them appropriately if you last minute us. So please do that for sure. Wednesday night, we'll still be continuing on. I won't make it this Wednesday, but Keith Hill, who is incredibly capable and gifted and good, will be leading, and so please come. We meet right in here, and that will be great. Let me answer a few questions many of you have been asking about my surgery. It will be Tuesday at 10:30. It's over at Flagler Hospital. Dr. Murky is doing the surgery. Some of you know Dr. Murky. Matter of fact, some of you have had his hands in your chest, you know. So he's a good guy to do that, and so we're gonna be doing that. My belief is, and my prayer is, that I will be back in record time. Let me tell you about Easter. one form or another, I will be here Easter. That's all I'm going to say. Me and Ryan are working a plan, and so we're at one form or another, I will be here at Easter. But that's not what's important. What's important is who you're going to bring. That's what's important. Who you're going to bring with you, who will come with you, that's what's important. Because people will come with you at Easter that won't come with you any other time of year. They really will. So invite them. They'll come. Please, please don't come alone. Bring someone with you. That might be the Sunday the Lord touches their life, changes their eternity forever, and what a wonderful thing that will be. So, please do that. So that's what's important. But Easter's going to be a phenomenal day. It's going to be huge. A lot of people, we're going to see the Spirit of God move in amazing ways. So please come and be a part of that and bring someone with you. Now, several people have asked about coming to visit. The surgery is on Tuesday. I should be out of the cardiac ICU, they say, within 24 hours, and then I'll be in a room. Text, call is great. If you could wait until Friday or Saturday to come, that will mean, A, I'm clothed and in my right mind, right? Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm not gonna be high talking, right? So I'll be off the juice, and I'll be normal thinking. And so please. What's that? Right. Well, see, I was gonna tell you guys, I promise you, I was gonna tell you that I was going in for a cranium enlargement because of my big huge brain. Yeah, and this is what would happen, right? Yeah. Nobody would believe I'm going in for a cranium enlargement. So you know, the truth is, you know, it is going to be bypass. And if you want to come, love to see you. Really would love to see you. But try to make it Friday or Saturday. I think I'll be feeling a bit better. So surgeries, they say 3 to 4 hours. That's what they said to me. Don't know. But that probably sounds about right. And your prayers will be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. Your prayers are needed, and so I want to thank you in advance for all the prayers you're going to be praying, and as many of you have already prayed on behalf of me and this process. You guys are one of the most loving, kind, gracious group of people I have ever known in my life. So thank you. Thank you for letting me be your friend. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. And I love you, and I'm looking forward to being back with you just real, real soon. And so just be praying hard, and we're just going to believe God for big things. I will be communicating with Debbie at the office. So if you're sort of out of the loop, been gone or going to be gone or need info, you can call Debbie. Debbie will have up-to-date, blow-to-blow stuff, and she'll be glad to get you that information. So I love you. Things are going to be great. Looking forward to coming back with more energy and, you know, with some new plumbing. So, hey, there you go. Life is good. All right. Amen. Stay with me, if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, after prayer, I'm going to be up here. The elders are going to come and anoint me with oil and pray for me. We believe, James says, that if any of you are sick among you, call for the elders to anoint with oil and pray. Prayer of faith so that you might be healed. So we're praying that. Even going into surgery, we're praying that. And so if you pray the prayer of faith, if you're that kind of prayer, we invite you to come and pray with us. If you're not a person who prays prayers of faith, don't pray. Right? I mean, we need faithful prayers. We need prayers of faith. So I want to encourage you. So the elders are going to come, and I'll be up here, and we invite you to come and pray with me. So I love you. We'll see you in a few weeks. Let's pray. Well, Lord, these are your people, sheep of your fold. You love each and every one of them with an unbelievable love. Father, you've got a plan for them so far above and beyond anything they've ever imagined. Lord, I just pray they lean into it, access it, hear it from you, and Lord, follow you in that plan. Lord, every person in this room, you love. Now, there's not one throwaway in here. And so, Lord, if the world has thrown them away, I pray they know you've retrieved them. If the world's walked out on them, I pray, Lord, they sense your presence walking in. Father, thank you for your goodness and your kindness. And now, Lord, use us this week to advance the gospel in some way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. I love you.